Welcome everyone to part three of this module one, which is intelligent applications. As you can see, we've done a little bit of musical chairs here, and Sam and I have switched seats just to make things a little bit more interesting. So I'm going to do a little less talking during this part, and I'm going to let Sam do a little bit more talking since he is our Azure Stream Analytics guru here. Again, if you don't know who we are, my name is Romit Girdhar. I'm a software engineer, and I have Sam here with me, who's a program manager. We're talking about end-to-end near real-time applications with Microsoft Azure. We are analyzing a retail website called as Parts Unlimited that is selling car accessories and car parts. And I will let Sam go through and recap what we did during part two and take it from there.
Thank you, Roman. So far, what we have done is we were able to essentially create a data generator that is automatically generating click streams. So this is, for all practical purposes, a simulator, which is simulating user activity on our online storefront. These click streams are being aggregated in our low latency, fully managed, high resiliency queue that we call Event Hubs. And from Event Hubs, we're going to ingest some of this data into the solution that we call Azure Stream Analytics. Now, Stream Analytics is a fully managed Azure service which provides complex event processing functionalities in the cloud. So what you can do is essentially use a SQL-like query language, which makes it really, really simple compared to competing solutions, to perform real-time analytics on live data coming in. And you can also use Stream Analytics to connect to other Azure and Microsoft services such as Power BI, for instance, for performing real-time dashboarding. Or you could use Azure Storage for essentially aggregating these events for batch processing at later points in time. So let's go ahead without further ado and continue from where Romit left off to build the next phase of our solution, which is essentially integrating Stream Analytics with the Event Hubs that was already created. So in this Azure portal, what you see right here is an Event Hub created for this data lab. And the namespace associated with that is Build Data Lab Event Hub namespace. Next, what I'm going to do is that I'm going to navigate to the Stream Analytics service. And I will create a brand new Stream Analytics job by clicking on New. I'm going to say Quick Create. And I'm going to give my job a certain name, say Code Labs Data. Central US is just fine.
Let's do West U. How about we do West US since we have all of our services in West US?
Let's do that. Yeah. Co-location of services is a desirable thing.
Let's go ahead and.
So we went ahead and created our Stream Analytics job. Now, when we think about Stream Analytics, there are two components. There are actually three components to a Stream Analytics job. The first component is the input. The second component is the query to perform real-time stream processing. The third component is the output to essentially dashboard it or to store your events that are being processed by a Stream Analytics job. So let's go look at this job that we just created. And as you can see on these tabs, on this top line, you have tabs for inputs, you have tabs for functions, we have tabs for querying and things like that. Let's go look at the input tab. Now, we're going to add an input and hook up the Stream Analytics job to the Event Hub, which is getting data as we speak from our data generator. So when we speak about inputs, there are really two kinds of inputs that Stream Analytics handles. One is a continuous data stream, which is data coming out of an exhaust. Of one candidate example of that could be the data generator that we have running locally here. Or we could have reference data, which is essentially an aggregation of data that we can use to cross-reference against. For the purposes of this exercise, we are essentially going to choose data stream, since what we have is a continuous stream of real-time data that is being generated as we speak. We have three candidate inputs that we support at this time on Azure Stream Analytics, and we will choose Event Hub. Now we go to this pane where we will select the Event Hub that we want to choose. Now the system is intelligent enough to choose the Event Hub for us, and it selected the right Event Hub from our current subscription. So what we will do is we will associate a certain friendly alias with this input coming in via Event Hub. Let's call this call stream. As you can see, the Event Hub is associated with the current subscription. The Event Hub namespace is associated, is essentially the same as what we created. We have the exact name of the Event Hub. We also have the policies that we created for the Event Hub. What we will do is we will select the right policy for the Event Hub. We won't select the root policy, we'll just select the receive policy. If you think about it, Event Hub is essentially, actually we'll select the send policy. The Event Hub is sending messages out, and Stream Analytics is the recipient. So thinking about it, since the Event Hub receive policy was what we configured to be as configured to have the permissions associated with sending stuff out, we're going to select receive policy when it comes to Event Hub settings. JSON is going to be our serialization format. And
you forgot the default.
Going back, thank you, Romit, for reminding me. We can select consumer groups. We selected a default consumer group. Now, Event Hub certainly has this notion of consumer groups, as Romit described. And you know, notions such as partitions and consumer groups are typically associated with downstream concurrency. In many ways, if you have a high degree of parallelism associated with entities that are pulling from your Event Hub, you would select an appropriate number of consumer groups associated with that Event Hub. Right now what we have here is the default consumer group. So we can either go ahead and create a new consumer group, or we can choose the default. What I'll do is I'll go ahead and create a new consumer group and call this CodeLabs data consumer group. We have serialization settings. I'm going to select JSON and UTF-8 encoding, which is standard. I'm going to remind you that the data that is being generated by the data generator is in JSON format. So if you look at this, this is all being generated as JSON. So I'm going to go ahead and finish this and complete this. So what we have here is essentially a test operation that is testing the connectivity between the Event Hub and the Stream Analytics job. As you can see, it says we were able to successfully connect to this Event Hub, and we are using the friendly name CallStream to recognize that. Next, what I'm going to do is I am going to connect outputs to my Stream Analytics job. Now, if you remember, there are two outputs for my Stream Analytics job for the purposes of this specific exercise. One involves connecting to Power BI for the purposes of real-time dashboarding, and the second one involves connecting to Azure Storage, Blob Storage specifically, for the purposes of offline aggregation of data for potentially performing batch analytics on top of that data that is stored. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go select Power BI first and go ahead, and we will click on the Authorize Now button to essentially establish the connection with Power BI. All right, so we were able to successfully authenticate with Power BI. Now we'll have to Provide an output alias, which is a friendly name for Power BI to essentially, for Azure Stream Analytics to recognize this output option. So let's call this Power BI output. We'll also have to provide a data set name. Let's call this Clickstream Data. And a table name as well. Let's call that Clickstream Table.
So, Sam, essentially for our viewers at home, what exactly is a Power BI, is a data set and a table?
Romit, that's a fantastic question. So as we output from Power BI, or rather from Azure Stream Analytics to Power BI, Power BI has certain internal constructs that it uses to aggregate this data before displaying it. So you can think of this notion of a data set as some sort of a larger namespace inside of which you can have several constructs. One such construct is this notion of a table, and that is what we're talking about here. So Power BI output alias is a friendly name to allude to this connection to this output sync. The data set name is alluding, and table name are alluding to and are referencing Power BI specific constructs. So to be clear, these are Power BI specific constructs. Data set name is the larger namespace, and table alludes to the specific artifact within that data space. Great.
Thank you, Sam.
We also have this notion of workspaces, and we're going to just choose the default one, which Power BI calls my workspace.
Great.
Going ahead and finishing that, as you can see, now that we completed that process, Azure Stream Analytics is automatically going and testing that connection out for you. And this check mark and the OK sign indicates that the connection's all good. Next, what we're going to do is essentially go to this query tab where we can, for all practical purposes, perform real-time analytics using a SQL-like query language. So as you can see, there's a select, there's an into and a from statement, and the output and input aliases refer to the friendly names that we provided to reference the input and outputs that Stream Analytics is handling. For the purposes of this specific exercise, let's say the question we want to answer using our real-time Power BI dashboard is it is to compute a count of the top 10 most clicked on items in our online storefront and look at a sorted list of that in a certain time window. Let's say the time window of interest here is 10 minutes. So what we will do is we'll author that query to do that. In the interest of time, what I'm going to do is I'm going to switch over to our GitHub repository, copy and paste that here, but I will spend some time talking about what exactly this query does. So what we're essentially doing is we're counting every unique product that is selected in the shopping cart of the aggregated user base from Clickstream, which is a friendly name that we're using to refer to our input. In fact, if we go back to the inputs tab, you'll notice that Clickstream is the input alias that we're, Callstream is the input alias that we're using. Power BI output is the output alias, which is what we are, let's fix that. Power BI, oops. Power BI output is the name of our output alias, and all events is a local name that we're using to allude to this construct that we're building up here. And when we say group by, you'll notice that folks who are familiar with SQL might be surprised by this notion of what exactly is the stumbling window. And this is where the power of Stream Analytics comes in, because we have inbuilt temporal features that essentially allow you to query within a certain temporal window. We have notions of tumbling windows, of hopping windows, and of sliding windows. What we're specifically using here is a tumbling window. So you can think of it as a bunch of windows on a sequential timeline slicing it up into a certain bunch of certain discrete amounts of time segment, discretized time segments. Here, what we're specifically doing is looking at a 10-minute time window. We can make this a much shorter duration. Let's say we want to know the top used items in the past 5 minutes, so we can make that 5 minutes too. Let's go ahead and do that. And
so Sam, for our guests at home, what are you talking about when you say width there in, mm-hmm. in the stream analytics query?
Fantastic question, Romit. The width clause essentially allows you to encapsulate all of this query into a manner that can be easily referenced and identified at a later point in time. It is sort of vaguely similar to this notion of a stored procedure that you can call multiple times, although it's not exactly that. So as you can see here, I'm encapsulating all of these statements within these braces, and I'm going to call that section as all events. And when I say select into, I can use that alias associate that I just provided to encapsulate all of those statements and you know, create.
That's beautiful. So can I use the output of a width statement into an input of another width statement?
Absolutely. And that is, I think, a functionality that showcases the power of stream analytics. When we say a SQL-like query language, there's a specific reason we do that. And it is that it's not identical to SQL. We have a bunch of additions. Some examples are tumbling window, sliding window, hopping window, etc. And you can think of this as an encapsulation mechanism for a SQL-like query on top of real-time data. And width is something that we support to do exactly this.
That's amazing. Thank you, Sam.
Good to know. What we have here to recap is a query that will essentially give you a count of items that were selected on our website in the past 5 minutes, and this is output to Power BI. One of the things that I forgot to do is add another output to Azure Blob Storage. So I'm going to go ahead and do that right now. So I'm going to say add output, select Blob Storage, say next, select an output alias. So I'm going to say Blob Storage. So I have a storage account right here that I'm going to readily use. The serialization format is the same that we used for the input, and I'm going to create that. The rationale and the motivation for having this blob storage is really to create a Lambda architecture. So we have stream analytics not just outputting to Power BI, where we perform real-time dashboarding on live data, but we're also outputting these events to persistent store, which is Azure Blob Storage. And we have scenarios where you can go in and at a later point in time on an offline basis, perform advanced machine learning on top of that to essentially elicit useful insights in a bad scenario. Coming back to our story here, what I've done is I have created an input connection to the Event Hub. I have two outputs, one to Blob Storage and the other one to Power BI. I have a query here. I'm going to add another line to the query to ask Power BI, to ask Stream Analytics to output to Blob Storage in addition to Power BI. So I'm going to copy this line here. Go paste that, which is another select statement. The output alias that I used for blob storage was blob storage. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to save this query right here.
Do you have a typo?
Do I have a typo? Let's see. Blob storage. Good catch, Romit. Fix that. Save the query again. Say yes. And now I will attempt to start this job. I'm going to say go ahead and start that. So what you have right now is a stream analytics job that is about to start. To recap what we've just done, we spun up a stream analytics instance. We created an input connection to the Event Hub that we had created a while back. The Event Hub here is essentially aggregating a bunch of these inputs coming in, which is actually a simulator for clickstream data. We also have two outputs, an output to Power BI and an output to Azure Blob Storage. The output to Power BI, you will see shortly on the Power BI dashboard, and the output to Blob Storage, we will enable you to look at that by showcasing how you can use this tool that we call Azure Storage Explorer, which is in many ways analogous to the Service Bus Explorer that we use to introspect and look into the contents of your Event Hub. Storage Explorer does the same thing for your Azure Storage account. What I will do is I will transition this back to Romit to continue from here and complete the rest of the lab. Thank you.
So Sam's transferred, Sam's asked me to walk through the last piece again. So thank you, Sam. So I'm back in the driver's seat. What we're going to do is we're going to quickly recap what we did with Stream Analytics and then go into to Power BI and show you how to do real-time dashboarding with Power BI. We'll also visualize our data using using Blob Storage to see if our data is actually making its way there. What we want to try and make sure is that we can conduct some batch processing or some batch analytics on our data, maybe on a daily basis, maybe on a nightly basis, maybe on a weekly basis, whatever our business demands. So in this case, let's dive back into the code and see what we have here. So if you see in the query again, we have our with clause that is counting the total number of items or products that are being clicked on or added or viewed because we are adding the type in there. And again, we are doing it at a tumbling window of 5 minutes. You'll notice that I am outputting to Power BI from my all events, which is this with clause right here. However, if you pay close attention, my output to Blob Storage is actually coming from my original data stream. And the reason being is we don't really want to, we don't really want to take anything away from the original data. We can do our cleansing and our batch processing when we do it. But for now, we want to send our raw data to Blob Storage for further processing as opposed to pre-processed data. So our query is already started. We have our two outputs, one for Power BI, one for Blob. So let's move on to Power BI and see if our data showed up. So I'm going to go on to powerbi.com. And if I go into my data sets, you'll notice that I actually have an added data set down here that has an asterisk right next to it in yellow. That's my CodeLabs data set. If I click on it, it has one table. Let's start doing some visualizations on top of it. These are all my visualization options. I can always bring my own custom visualizations, and I can always use Power BI to do more and more visualizations. So in this case, what we're going to do is create some visualizations. In this case, I'm going to add some data. As you can see, it's got data, and it keeps refreshing every single minute, probably even at a lower interval than that, to always give you the most near real-time sense of how your e-commerce site is doing. In this case, I'm going to create a funnel chart right here. So if I create this into a funnel chart, as you can see, Power BI is smart enough to detect what it needs to actually display. So as you can see, wheels and tires are actually the most popular items on my website, which is a very good insight for me. Now, if I wanted, I could even get this to sort, sort in an ascending or descending manner. So in this case, I gotta click on these three dots and say sort by. And I am going to say total. And that gives me my wheels and tires on top, my batteries, which are my second largest, my lighting, my oil, and my brakes. Let's create another chart. So let's click out here on the canvas again. So this time, what we're going to do is we're going to create a bar chart, let's say. So I want to find out what my top-selling products are. So in this case, I'm going to add my title and my total. So that tells me how much of each of my products have gotten you know, activity. This could be a click, this could be a buy, this could be a an ad. And I can go ahead and start doing a bar chart right here. And as you can see, automatically, Power BI has detected that I want to know my top selling products or my top activity or my top looked at products. And so it's going to go ahead and do that. Again, I can sort data if I want to. So in this case, I can click on those three dots there and say, hey, sort it by total. And it's going to go ahead and give me and tell me that my most looked at or most interacted with item is a disk and pad combo. What I could do here is also add more filters to say, hey, you know, I could add my type into my filter and say, hey, I just want to know which are my most you know, most checked out things. And as you can see, my oil and filter combo are my top selling item. If I can also change the filter to say, hey, I only want to know which ones have been added. And as you can see, automatically my view actually changes in Power BI. So it looks like my disk and pad combo is my top added to cart item. But when I change my filter to say only show me, apologies for that. If I change my filter to say only show me my top bought items, as you can see, my disk and pad combo goes to number 2, and my oil and filter combo goes to number 1. That tells me something very interesting, that my price point for disk and pad combo might not be the best, because a lot of people are adding it to cart, but not everybody is actually buying that product. So I do have some sort of a churn, maybe something for me to look at, something for my management to look at, something for my team to look at, and something for me to act upon. So that being said, we actually just created 2 reports in Power BI. Let's understand how to actually add these to a dashboard and actually create an end-to-end dashboard with Power BI. So we're going to go back. As you can see, I have a pin button here. So I can go ahead and click on the pin visual, and it's going to ask me to save my report first. So I'm going to save my report, and I'm going to call this near real-time report. Save and continue, and now it's going to ask me if I want to create an existing, add it to an existing dashboard or a new dashboard. I'm going to say a new dashboard. I'm going to say near real time parts unlimited dashboard. Again, you can call it anything you want. I just choose to call it this. And so as you can see, I have a new report and I have a new dashboard in my left pane. So if I click on my dashboard, as you can see, it has one item to it. I can go back to my reports here and I can pin my second report chart to it as well. Again, existing dashboard, and I'm going to say pin. And now if I go onto my dashboard, you can see I actually have 2 items here. Of course, I can change my title. I can change my font, I can change my colors to make it look more pretty, and I can actually make it into a more interesting dashboard. Once I actually go through this, I can actually start asking questions in natural language. Power BI does support natural language querying to try and put in things like, what are my top selling products? What are my top selling items? What are my top selling categories? And among other things. So that basically is a brief overview of Power BI. We've gone through and we looked at how you can, you can take a look at the different, you can create different charts, you can pin your different charts to dashboard. And the beauty of this is Power BI will refresh every single minute, even less than that. It will start pulling latest events from Stream Analytics, and it will start updating your dashboard to give you the most latest picture, the most latest snapshot of what's going on with your website at any given point of time. The last thing we're going to look at before the end of this module is how the data is actually even flowing into blob storage. So let's go back into our Stream Analytics query here. We noticed that in our query, we did say that, go ahead and put all of our raw events into blob storage. In our output section, in our blob storage output, an interesting thing that we did here is we said, hey, let's put it in our ASA events container within this storage account. And we said, hey, we want to add a prefix pattern for date. The prefix pattern that we've selected is year, month, and date. So it's going to start adding events by year, month, and date. This partitioning strategy also helps you in batch analytics, which is why Stream Analytics gives you the flexibility to start adding events in this manner. So let's go hop over to our Storage Explorer, and let's go into our Blob Storage account, which is the Build Code Lab. You'll notice I am in the ASA event folder, and let me zoom in to see if I can. Let me see if I can use zoom in real quick to show you what I mean. See, zoom in is working. Oh, apologies, zoom in is not running on my machine. Let me see if I can get it to work on this machine. There you go. So as you can see, I am in my blob in my Build Code Lab storage account, and within that storage account, I'm inside the ASA events container. Let's escape out, and as you can see, I have a folder for 2016. I have a folder for 05, I have a folder for 02, and as you can see, I have JSON files being written out to this folder. And if I open any one of these, it'll go ahead and download, and it's asked me if I want to open it, and as you can see, it's my raw data that we sent through Event Hubs just showing up in my Blob storage account. So with that, we've actually seen an end-to-end picture of how you can start with your devices, or in our case, a retail website. Again, every single person that comes onto my retail website is a device, is indeed a device, and it's sending me data, unique behavioral data, unique input data that then I am using to process I'm using Stream Analytics to process my data. And eventually I am, sending this data into Power BI. I'm also sending a raw stream of data into Blob Storage for further downstream processing for batch analytics. If you join us for our module 2, we are actually going through and performing batch analytics on our data that we're capturing through Event Hubs here. So please do join us for module 2, but that's all we have for module 1. Again, please do visit the link that's down in the description. Again, it's aka.ms. / Code Labs data. So thank you very much for tuning in, and looking forward to having you be a part of module 2 as well. Thank you.